our Bibles to Psalm, the 148th Psalm tonight. Psalm 148. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the enjoyment, blessing we receive by this psalm, the reading of it. Thank you, God, that you are a great God and greatly to be praised. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this service tonight in a special way as we do some reflection and then, Lord, look forward and ahead in confidence that what you've called us to do, we're able to do, and that you would continue to empower and use the ministries here, the church here. Thank you for all that you're doing, that this is a place that's actively going forward. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd give us that pioneer spirit, that desire to want to see God move in our lives, in the church, in the ministries of this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're having a little bit different service tonight. I've asked several of our men, not all of the men that went on the trip, but just asked a handful of our men to come during this part of the service tonight and share a brief testimony of a little bit that happened on our trip. And what I might do to make things easier and a little bit more as far as the schedule, and if I could just have the men that I've talked to today or left a message with you, would you come up at this time and just sit on the front row here, and that way I can get you up and down in a timely fashion in just a few minutes when we begin. I want to, first of all, as I've already done, but thank each and every one of you that invested in some way in this trip to Washington, D.C. And we're going to try to bring a little bit of the blessings back with us, those of you that were unable to go, but still shared the burden of it with your prayers and in other ways. We want to just take a little bit of time and share some of the blessings of what God did in the last few days. And let me just give you a quick breakdown of what happened. I'm going to give you some stats and some particulars and go over our itinerary a little bit and just maybe set the stage in that. And that will help the men as they speak to be able to put things in context for you so you understand the overview of what happened on this trip. Of course, about a year ago, we announced, maybe not quite, but about a year ago, we announced the fact that we were going to do this. And to begin to pray and prepare and get ready and ask the Lord to see that all the particulars were taken care of. And that all culminated in 1 o'clock last Thursday afternoon of we ended up with 61 members from Blessed Hope Baptist Church being able to go out on this trip to Washington, D.C. 1 o'clock Thursday, we loaded a bus here, and Thursday basically was a travel day. We traveled from here to St. Clairsville, Ohio. God gave us good speed. God gave us safety. And we got there, and 17 rooms of that motel was occupied by Hopers. And I'm not sure that motel will ever be the same, but it was just interesting. It's like a teen trip. First time I ever took a teen trip with adults. That's what it felt like, teen trip with adults. And then on Friday, we got up early, and our intent was to travel on to Gettysburg and then tour Gettysburg battlefield, and then go on to the motel. On Friday, as we were crossing the mountains and got down, we began to have some bus trouble. We had a leak in the air brakes, And we had just come down and traversed quite a few steep mountains before this started up. When we got down on flat ground, we started noticing there was a hissing sound, and it intensified, and we realized that we had trouble with our air brakes. And it was amazing because we were trying to get to a certain town, so I said, well, let's get here. And it was lunchtime anyway, and we can park the bus and see if we can get some help, find out what's going on with it. The bus driver, we finally saw the restaurants that we wanted to hit, and we saw a vacant lot. I said, why don't you pull over in that vacant lot? We did. We pulled into that vacant lot. No more did we pull out in the vacant lot, but the air pressure dropped to as low as it can, and it locked the brakes up, and there we were. And that could have happened at any point along the way. But the Lord let us get to where we could get to safely, and right there it stopped, and we were able to just send the folks out and say, go eat lunch, and we'll see what we can do. And the men here, several of our men, got together and stayed back and got into the bus and located the problem, figured out what was wrong. We did have to call a repair truck, and because we didn't have parts to fix it, he showed up. By that time, it had been pretty well diagnosed, and with his expertise, and he chipped in and told us, yeah, I think that is the problem. They fixed it. Until I'm getting real technical on it, because I don't have any idea how they fixed it, but they fixed it. The man was there a few minutes. He allowed us to use some parts, and then he put his tools away, and I said, let me pay you something. He said, no, you guys did most of the work. You had the problem located. He said, listen, just have a great trip, and he didn't charge us a dime. Just wouldn't take a dime from us. And so we were able to get back on the road. At that point, we decided we'd already lost enough time. We couldn't make it to Gettysburg, but we just trusted that this was God's good hand upon us. For whatever reason, he wanted to change the schedule, so he did. We headed down to Frederick, got everybody settled in the motel, had a good evening, relaxing evening where folks could go out and get a bite to eat and get ready for Saturday. We met Brother Abel there Friday evening and offloaded. Once we offloaded the luggage, he had been so kind to secure from his boss a trip out to Baltimore, and on the way went through Milford and picked up the books and met us there, and we filled the belly of the charter bus up with books and prepared for the next day. Early Saturday morning, we got up, went into Washington, D.C., and God gave us, again, just good speed, no traffic problems, got us right to where we needed to go. We checked in with the park rangers there and showed our permits, got located, got set up, and spent all day Saturday greeting veterans, shaking their hands. We were outside of the Korean War Memorial, outside the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial. They asked us to keep a respectable distance. We tried to honor all of those things. They allowed us to have, on Saturday, pretty close proximity to the World War II, and set up a group there and meet and greet World War II veterans that were coming in to see the memorial, which was just amazing. And then Saturday after we got done at 5 o'clock, we wrapped things up. We went over to Arlington Cemetery, took the group up there, and got to watch the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is just an amazing, amazing thing to watch. And a very, very exhausted group made it back to the motel pretty late Saturday evening. Sunday, we went to Frederick's Baptist Temple with Brother Jeff Bowersock. He has been my liaison on the East Coast, giving me advice through all of this, looking over our itinerary, making good suggestions for us, and also was so kind to host our group and give us a home away from home while we were away from our home church, that all of the music that day was provided by the special music that day was provided by our church for his service. He asked if we'd do that. Our choir sang, our special groups, two different special groups sang. It was just a great, great Sunday. He asked me to preach Sunday night, and I did. And not only that, but after the Sunday morning service, we didn't know this till Saturday, but he said, don't plan on lunch or anything. We're bringing grills. We're going to cook out chicken and hamburgers and hot dogs. We're going to feed your entire group. They had volleyball net and everything set up. They were just gracious, gracious hosts, and made us feel so welcome there. On Monday, we got up, headed back into D.C., and we got set up, and from about 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we finished up on our time frame, and then wrapped things up, loaded up, and then made part of the leg home on Monday. And we got to around New Stanton, Pennsylvania, spent the night there, and then made our all way, rest of the way on Tuesday. And, of course, we had to see one more monument on Tuesday.
Here it comes.
Yes. I didn't know this till we were going out, but there's a big giant Cabela's right there on the highway. So we kind of rigged this where all the guys decided that at that exit, right before that exit, they'd all start screaming how they had to go to the bathroom. And so being the kind, gracious soul I am, I felt like we had to stop to accommodate these men. And we did. We stopped for almost an hour and a half at Cabela's, and that was fun. We had a good time. And the rest of the way home, the ladies griped about not being able to go to the outlet mall and all that. But, you know, they just weren't as organized as we are. So, amen. We had a good time. And God gave us good Godspeed. In that time, we were able to, you think about this, with the group we had there. And we really went into this, you know, with expectations, some not really knowing what to expect. But we gave away over 16,000 booklets to veterans or family members of veterans. That means somebody in this group stuck out their hand and shook hands with that many people, most of them veterans, and got to personally look them in the eye and thank them for their service to our country. And I will tell you that overall, the response was just almost total shock. They couldn't believe we were there. They couldn't believe we were doing this. Most of them were just got beyond being able to hardly speak. They were so appreciative that somebody would just show up on Memorial Day as they came to pay respects to their comrades and just stand out there and shake hands and thank them. And that many of them got booklets put in their hand, and that has, of course, a strong salvation message. And so it was a real blessing. That's over 325 people per person that we had there, that each one of us got to shake hands on average. I'm sure some did a little more than others, but that's all right. We were in different spots, and the flow was different areas, but God blessed us so much. Now, I wanted to give you the overview, and then it's so hard for me, being just one person in one spot, trying to absorb what I'm seeing, to give you a full picture of all the things that happened. So we're going to take the service tonight. We're going to ask these men to come up and just give a testimony of something that the Lord laid upon their heart, a part of the trip that they thought was unusual, maybe an encounter they had or something that God would have them speak about. And I guess y'all just picked your order, and so I'll just let Chad go first. Amen.
Well, we got a bunch of them, so I'm not going to take real long since I'm not real comfortable being up here anyway. But first of all, I'd just like to thank Pastor Jerry and Mrs. Ross. I know you had a lot to do with it also. And sorry. Amen. Just know how things work sometimes. I just like to thank Pastor Jerry, like I said, for allowing me to go. It's kind of a last-minute thing with me. And I also like to thank Dad for allowing me to go also, because we were going to be in the fields. And the Lord worked it out, because it was rare. I think it was like the first time in 15 years it was so dry we couldn't work. Actually dry, so dry we couldn't work. So the Lord kind of worked that out, and I was able to go, and that was a blessing. And I'd like to thank all those who went, all those who sacrificed so much to go. You were all a blessing to me, and I appreciate your good testimony and everything that you guys put into this trip. Pastor Jerry said a lot of things, just kind of the overview. A few things that really amazed me. I mean, I'm from Green County or Clay County, so Washington, D.C. was a little different, but I was amazed with all the bikers. I've never, and I guess I didn't really think about it, but a lot of them were motorcycle riders, and it's just, I think, I heard one estimate, I'm just going to say it, but I think they said last year there was close to 100,000 bikers there last year, and it was just amazing that all these people were coming from California. They took 10 days out of their lives to ride to this memorial to commemorate their buddies that died in the war and their friends and everything. That was just amazing to me. And another thing that amazed me was the, like Pastor Jerry said, they were all shocked. It was just like nobody had ever done anything like this before to them. Nobody had ever really taken time to thank them. Even just a small thing like that little booklet we gave them or the handshake. And I noticed several times people, veterans, would walk by and you try to give them a book or shake their hand and they'd be like, no. But if you said, well, can I just shake your hand? And if you just shook your hand, they'd get to and thank them. They didn't know what she's doing to start out with. They just thought he's soliciting or giving stuff out. But if you shook their hand and actually thanked them, usually they'd take a book. And, I mean, the seed was planted. And in Luke it says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And that's all we did this week. I mean, I don't know of any actual conversions, people that got saved. I don't know of any. There may have been. but we sowed seed. We sowed over 16,000 seeds. And you know that sower in the Bible, he didn't see his seed immediately. He didn't see it immediately prosper. But later on, you know, it says he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him, rejoicing. You know, I think only eternity will tell what difference this trip had on the lives of these men. And you know, it's hard for us to see, and it's hard for us to realize maybe what influence we had on these people and what influence, you know, they could have on our buddies. But I mean, the sower, if you went up to any of these veterans any other time of the year, I think that they would be pretty hard. I mean, their hearts have been hardened by bitterness and loneliness. But this weekend, their heart, I think, was broken by, I'm going to say, the plow of remembrance. I mean, their hearts were tender. And I think the Lord allowed us to plant the seed in that soil that has been broken, that their hearts have been broken. You know, they was thinking about their buddies. They think about the value of life, eternity. And I think that their hearts were probably softer at this point than probably any other time. And I think the Lord just allowed us to plant some seed, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do with that seed.
We'll just let you go in order.
Well, first I want to thank everybody that stayed back and kind of filled in, and thought you doing stuff here that church wouldn't function well, so thank you. Bear with me, my voice is a little rough. I contracted something while I was there. I don't know if somebody from our trip gave it to me, so I'll thank you now. Amen. This thing was amazing. It gives me a whole new appreciation for my country. Seeing all those men, women that had given their lives to give me my freedom. And to be honest, I believe I was a flag-waving American before, but I took it for granted. I think I still do. The freedoms that I have, the things that I can do, were under the price of blood. And I don't know if I can ever really repay any of them. There was a man that talked to me, in fact, and he was a little bitter against some things, but he talked to me for about 20 minutes, and he made a statement that in order for me to really truly repay him is if I would just, you know, join. He just said, don't thank a vet. He said, be a vet. That's what he told me. And I understood what he was saying. And to be honest, it almost made me want to go join. I'm in the Lord's army. He recruited me first, so there I'll stay. But it also made me start thinking about the Christians that gave their lives so that I could have my Bible, so I could sit in the church that I'm in right now. You know, the generations, the people that gave their lives for what we have now here in America as far as Christianity is concerned, it made me think about that. But as I've been sitting and kind of reflecting even today while I was at work, and Jeff might not like this, but I actually think while I'm working on other things. And I still work fairly fast, but maybe not quite as fast today. But as I went through the memorials and saw graves and saw all these things, and I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of lives represented. When we were in the World War II memorial, they had stars in there, and there's, I think, 1,000 stars, if I remember right, and each one represented 400 individuals. So there's 400,000 people. And, you know, countless names on the wall for the Vietnam Memorial, and you have great leaders, you know, from the war, quotes by them, like MacArthur and things like that, and all these people. But the people that we shook hands with, they, to be honest, they're the ones that remained anonymous. They weren't, their names aren't in highlights anywhere. They're probably, the things that they did aren't written down anywhere. Very few people have thanked them. And I have just gone through Hebrews and the great Hall of Faith chapter, and you know, things are listed, great men are listed, things that they did and things that they conquered and things, but there's an interesting word that's put in right towards the end of the chapter. It said after talking about faith of Gideon and Barak and all those things, that talks about through faith they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to the flight of the armies of aliens. It says women received their dead raised to life again, and it kind of stops there, and then it says and others, right? And they're unlisted. They were tortured and they didn't accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. It says and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, and it continues on. But I started thinking about all the others. All the people we shook hands with, the others that are unnamed, that did their part. And then I start reflecting about the others in the Christian realm that, you know, I've read books, all kinds of books, and people mentioned and the things that they did and the accomplishments they had, you know, famous names like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, those kind of things, Billy Sunday. But then I started thinking about all the others.
Right. Well, that's good.
All the others.
Amen.
And, it made me think about a man right now. He's pastoring in a little church in Dillon, Montana, and he's gonna. I'm almost positive he'll remain unnamed among, you know, the giants of the faith his whole life. But if it wasn't for him, I would have never heard the gospel. He's one of the others. And I started thinking about that. And you know, I don't know about you, but I think everybody wants greatness. You know, everybody likes to be thanked, pat on the back, you know, achieve something. But something I noticed I just want for my life is I just like to be one of the others.
Hey.
Just one of the others.
That's good.
If I could just live for my Lord and do the things for God that I could and just remain unnamed and just be part of the others, that'd be good enough for me.
Amen.
And there's so many more things. You know, there's each one of us could probably stand up here for hours probably talking about things that God spoke to them about, and that's just a little something. But I do want to thank all of you that gave us the ability to go, prayed for us, and I watched amazing things. I mean, 16,000 booklets in 2 days, and I started thinking about all kinds of things, you know. That's just 61 people. And I thought, what about a church of 250 that could go out and pass out tracts in the neighborhood? And what would happen if just 2 days, you know? How many people we could touch and influence. It's just amazing. And God's a mighty God, there's no doubt. And he took care of us. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Jerry, for God giving you the vision to do this. And Miss Cheryl for sticking by his side and probably help him keep his sanity at times and all those things. And I want to thank you, Mom and Dad, for helping us out. And I want to thank my wife. She doesn't get this very often, but I want to thank my wife because she helps me. And we learned a lot together on this trip. And so I want to thank her publicly. And that's it. That's all I got to say.
You can tell the preachers, can't you?
And I just want to start off by saying, some of you know that I got a pretty long commute. I commute 86 miles one way to work. It takes an hour and a half to go to work and 2 hours to go home. And so I knew there was going to be some driving on here, but here Wednesday night, pastor says, Brother Casper, by the way, you mind driving the van? And I tell you, my thought, first of all, was, oh, great, you know. Wait. Let me finish. I had a second annual training. That doesn't mean anything to you. In the reserves, we do 15 days a year statutory by regulatory law. And so we had a second one because the state of Indiana's postured to do something really big for the Department of Defense down in Atterbury and Miskatonic. And so anyway, I was asked to do that, commanding the unit that we had. And it was a brutal AT. The first couple days were 18-hour days. And so I was tired. I got off of that thing, and then drill weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday back at work, Tuesday at work. I took Wednesday off, tried to get things organized and so forth. But what the Lord showed me was this, is that we're not here to be served. We're here to serve. And pastor asked just a simple thing to do, and rather than just kind of balk and say, no, I can't do that, or I'm just too tired, the Lord's gracious. You know, that's why he has us here. None of us are greater than the other. We're all here to serve, and whatever the man of God asks of us, we should be willing to do. And so that was pretty good start on that. Anyway, I've been to DC numbers of times. I used to go there quarterly, and then now I go to Pensacola. That's a tough place to go to do, by the way. But I know DC. I knew the monuments. I had gone through there, and so that was very helpful in some of the things. When we got there, about the trying to organize this, never been done before, and I know a lot of planning had gone into that, in arranging and trying to make the best laid plans of mice and men. So we got a spot. We thought we were gonna be someplace else, and it was on the pond for where the memorial for the signers of the Declaration of Independence. There's a pond there, and it was dedicated to them. And actually, Washington D.C. is nothing but it's one big memorial if you look at it that way. And so we couldn't all be 61 people at the one spot, our little tent. And so it worked out well, just going two by two, three, and so forth. They were a little sensitive about soliciting at the monuments, and rightfully so. Amen. It's kind of some sacred ground, beloved. And so the Park Service was very sensitive to that, but at the same token, the group we had, I believe, was sensitive to that. And listen, I tell you, it worked out well to be able to meander off among the monuments, two by two, three by three, and one-on-one greet people and ask if they're a vet, look them straight in the eye and with a genuine heart. That's the second thing the Lord showed me was this, is that we can be very mechanical. And I don't know how many of the rest of you, but a lot of these vets, I tell you what, when I talked to them, I locked on their eyes and wouldn't let go. And you know what? Some of those hard guys got kind of soft. And I don't know if you experienced that, but I saw that. Not to try to be mean or unkind, but genuinely trying to thank them, that was a blessing. It really was. I got three little incidents here. One of the guys I talked to was very interesting. He was a Turkish Arab, and he was from Turkey. He was a professor at George Washington University. He was an electrical engineer professor, very learned man, and the Lord opened that conversation up, and like Paul, I reasoned with him out of the scriptures. I tried to preach Christ and Christ crucified. And it was a very interesting thing because he led the conversation saying, hey, I'm an electrician. Electricity is a very unusual thing. You go over to the switch, you turn it on, and it goes on. You don't see the electrons. You don't see any of that behind the scenes, but you have faith when you turn that switch on. And I tried to relay that faith back to him about Jesus Christ. We got to talk about the Quran and the Bible a little bit. And he tried to go on. They're all copies and copies and copies. I said, certainly they are. And I asked him, what takes more faith, to have the actual written scriptures or the Quran, or to believe that God is able to preserve it for this time and age in which we live? Anyway, I just really enjoyed this guy. I really did. He was hungry, and that was a blessing. Did I leave him to the Lord? No, but I certainly tried to leave a testimony there. This is an interesting one. Janine had met. We were over by the White House, and she met a father who was a Vietnam veteran who had lost his son, a pilot, a Chinook C-47 pilot, went down in Iraq in February. Now listen to this. He thanked her for giving him the book by Ron Allen, and he also thanked her to thank me for serving. Now here's a man. I don't know what his background is as far as faith, but here you could be bitter, and just hate what you could hate President Bush, you can hate the administration, you can hate the Department of Defense, but he was a man who served and lost his own son serving, and he graciously took the booklet, and he thanked her over and over and over again, and I think wow, there was another man, actually a family. He was a veteran, Air Force, 23 years. Had I believe she was a Korean wife, must have met her in Korea, and a son. And he shook my hand and thanked me and thanked me and thanked me, and said, "I am so glad somebody is doing something here." And he came from a Christian church in San Diego. But this church much has some type of outreach ministry, because he was very cognizant of it and was very appreciative of it. Last experience was the older man from the Band of Brothers. Some of you may be familiar with the PBS series Band of Brothers. It's a series, and it chronicles this group of men through World War II. Well, he is one of the survivors, the 35 survivors of it. And he was pretty fascinated, but the man that was with him was more fascinating, in that they were both veterans, both World War II. The man that was with him served 3 years, full years, in combat in World War II. Saipan, Okinawa, and so forth, the whole East, 3 years of combat, not 6 months, not 1 year, but 3 years as a Marine. And, you know, I asked him, did he know Christ as his personal Savior? If he was to die tonight, would he go to heaven? He said he did. And then I asked him, did your mom take you to Sunday school? And he said he did. And I thought of the ministries here, the buses that go trucking down the roads and creating all the dust on the gravel. And praise the Lord for mothers, and praise the Lord for churches that love children and go out and go after them. And then Frederick Baptist Temple, that was a blessing. Here was a man trying to stand in a region that is really a multitude of nationalities and economics. And what a blessing that was. I got more of a blessing than he probably did. And I just think he was just a very gracious man. His people were gracious. They went out of their way. If I could belabor this was really kind of neat. I told Pastor this. I sat across the table during the lunch with them, and it was an elderly woman. And she was from Terre Haute. Her husband got a job with the National Security Administration, NSA, went to D.C., worked there 30 years, and then they came back to Terre Haute and retired. Well, he passed away 8 years ago, and then a few years later, her family was in Maryland area, so she moved out near her family, which makes sense. But she made that banana cream pie, two of those, and some of you might have had some of that. And the pastor came over and wanted to compliment her on this, and she says, "You know, Pastor, I haven't baked in 30 years. And I told Pastor this. I think, personally, it was because we were guests, that she was encouraged and wanted to do something to offer the guests that they had in their church. And I think, what a servant's heart. That was a blessing. And then lastly, safety. We went out there. I learned not to follow that blue bus too closely. And some of you may understand that, some of you may not, but it belches billow of blue smoke, okay? And it goes into the air conditioning vents very well, okay? So the first part of the trip was very, very noxious, if I will say, especially in the mountains on those 8% grades at 15 miles an hour, okay? But I learned a little bit along the way, and on the way back, I kept my distance from him. You may not know this. We went out there. I didn't realize that there was the tires were put new on the vehicle. We were coming back. I heard some noise coming back. Not a loud noise, nothing like that. I heard something. It started. It was getting louder in Clay City. And I said, "Something's wrong here." By the time we got to the dog leg, the kids were making a racket. I know your kids don't make a racket. Okay, but mine were a little loud, and so I said, "Hush, hush," and I heard this thump, thump, thump. And I rolled down a window, and sure enough, the driver rear wheel was loose on the lugs, okay? And we limped into the parking lot, and I just thanked the Lord. Listen, we were up and down the mountains. You think of the situation with the brakes on the bus. Some of those were 8% grades. That's pretty steep. And the Lord is good, and he is gracious. And I want to thank my family and thank all of you. It was a wonderful trip. It really was. I think it'll leave a tremendous impression on the children. I want to thank you all, those that were here, to keep the home fires burning, and we'll never know, absolutely never know what that'll reap, and we do know that was the right approach, rather than just going out there and trying to sell, but to actually genuinely thank veterans for serving. It was a wonderful experience. Thank you, Pastor.
I appreciate the opportunity to go, and I appreciate that my mom was willing to stay back and take care of our kids so Liz and I could go and be together on the trip. And just a great time we had. As I was thinking today, when Pastor Jerry asked me to give a testimony tonight, And I was thinking to myself of, you know, so I was talking to the teens about this on the way back from soul winning today, of how that all the churches that we know of, you know, good churches, fundamental churches like ours, I've never known of any church, as far as I know, to ever do anything like this. And I just thought, you know, praise the Lord that He allowed us. You know, we consider ourselves a small country church, but the privilege to go and do what we did. And it's all the Lord, and we're thankful that He allowed us to do that. And I was thankful to be part of that. And those are memories we'll take with us for a long time, and memories we'll share and be able to pass down to our children. And a couple things I'll tell you, an interesting experience. We went, Alyssa and I, and I think maybe Chad was with us, and we walked up actually on the street, on the sidewalk, where folks came into to the park area. And, of course, you know, all the motorcycle guys were parked up there. I mean, as far as you could see, it was just motorcycles all the way down. I was in heaven, you know, and I think Pastor Jerry's kind of drooling, you know. He had drool falling down his mouth, you know, I was looking at them things. But we waited up there, and of course we were, you know, as the people were coming in, we were thanking them, and it seemed to me, you know, the guys who looked the roughest were the nicest, you know, and the guys with all the ponytails and the earrings and the leather on, and they'd come by, and we'd stop them, and we'd thank them, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, they'd sit there and look at you for a minute, and you'd think, you know, they might be ready to punch you or something, but then a big old tear would fall down their cheek. And, you know, they just thank you and shake your hand. But as we were standing there, this lady came up to me and started talking to me, and I could tell she wasn't from America, and she was from England. And she told me that her father was in World War I and World War II, and, you know, she just was blown out of the water that people would come and do this. And as I got to talking to her, I gave her a booklet, and she, you know, she talked to me, then she walked away. Then a few minutes later, she came back, and she says, "Man, I love this book so much. Is there any way I could get maybe a couple of them for, I want to give to my people that are on the tour bus. We're going to take them back to England with us." And we ended up giving her, I think, 30 or so, and she was going to give one to each and every one of them for people on the tour bus with her. And it was, you know, we had different guys, was able to meet people from different countries and stuff, and that was an interesting experience. And then the last thing I wanted to think of, I sure was privileged to be able to spend the time a couple great men, of course, Brother Ron. And how fun it was just to walk around with him. And every day we went, he wore his Army uniform. And it was almost like walking around with a celebrity. And the people would just stop. And, you know, he could talk. I saw him talking to a guy with no legs in a wheelchair. And they were just, you know, and they just hit it off together. And then I was also thankful to go with my grandpa. And I'm glad the Lord gave him the strength. And who would have thought 2 years ago we'd be making this trip this spring? And, you know, I think he may have had more energy than I did. And he would stay on the tent. And, you know, Pastor Yard would say, "Brother Bo, go sit down for a few minutes." And it wasn't no longer. He was sitting down 2 seconds. He was right back up. And what a privilege it was to be able to spend some time with my grandpa and just to see the grace of God and to give him strength to be able to go. And so kind of Brother Ron was kind of our patriotic hero. And I kind of look at my grandpa as kind of our spiritual hero. And I just appreciate what an opportunity it was, and to be able to share that with him also.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for allowing me to go and for giving us good protection on our trip. It was way beyond anything I could try to imagine. I tell my Sunday school class this. I said, it gets me in trouble sometimes, but anything that I read or I try to figure out, I have to think it through. I have to visualize it, maybe because I was not the smartest guy in the world, but I really like to think, in my mind, see exactly what things are. And so I'm trying to imagine this for the last couple of weeks working, and Brother Derek, I don't think I got very much work done preparing this either, but you know, trying to really think about this, and when I got there, I probably spent the first hour just in awe of the. I've never been to those monuments. I've read about them. I've got books on them, but until you go somewhere like that, you can't imagine what it's like, and then just the multitude of people and the different type of people. You know, you see just all types of people there, you know, and nationalities and just different lifestyles. And I just thank God for allowing me to go and the protection he gave us. You know, he gave us protection as far as travel. You know, he gave us good weather. He took care. You know, we had children with us. We had young children with us, and he watched over them. he allowed us all to kind of play mom and dad with him, but he watched over him. He took care of him, and I appreciate that. And also, I thank the Lord for the preparation that he had already had accomplished for the people he's going to meet. You know, I've went to a few of the Operation Think of It things to the units. I really enjoyed them. But when you go in someplace like that, it's just it's totally different, because these men and women are there usually for one reason, and a lot of it's not pleasant. And so you don't know how they're going to react. But the Lord had all that prepared. He had their hearts prepared, and we just had a great time. I'd like to thank Pastor Jerry for his hard work and preparing this. I know that those few days we was gone was nothing compared to the hours that he put in, and I appreciate that and thank him for that. It's a vision that God gave him to do, and I appreciate him willing to do it. We met all kinds of veterans, all different wars, conflicts. You had some that would talk to you about it, some that wouldn't, but we met all different types. I've got just a couple of stories there. I thought, because it interested me. We met one veteran, and he was real reluctant to get all kinds of response. Some of them will just shake your hand, immediately smile, start talking to you, and you get some that look at you like, what am I getting myself into? And I can understand that, But I run into one guy, and at first he wouldn't even shake my hand, but finally he did. And then when I started telling him, I noticed he kept staring at our shirts. Of course, we have our Operation Think Vet shirts on. He kept reading it, and I just told him up front, that I asked him if he was a veteran. He said, he was, and that he was a veteran from Vietnam, and he said that, and I told him I wanted to thank him for his service to our country and everything he'd done for his service, and hadn't even brought a chance to mention the book yet. And he told me, he stopped and he really grasped my hand hard, and tears started coming to his eyes. He said, I'm going to tell you something, if you got a minute. I said, I got all day. And he said, 39 years ago this summer, I joined the military. Now, he was out of the military. He hadn't been in the military 39 years, but 39 years ago, he joined the military. And he told me, he said, in 39 years, you're the second person that's ever told me thank you for serving my country. And he said, you know who the first one was? And I said, no. And he says, my mom and dad when I got home from basic training. And I'm thinking, this guy for 39 years, and his, parents, parents are going to do that. But I thought 39 years, this guy had never had anybody tell him thank you. And he was God. And then he wanted to know the history of, Operation Think of It and what we did. He finally told me, I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate your folks, and you go back and tell your church thank you and everything they're doing. But he said, us veterans need to thank you because nobody does this. And it really got to me because I thought, I told him, I said, you guys all be thanked daily. We come out here on Memorial Day and thanking him, which we's glad to, but they ought to be thanked daily for what they've done. And 39 years, and that really got me. And just how surprised they were that people were out doing this. They just was really receptive and really surprised that. He asked me where I was from, and I told him Indiana, and he said, "You mean tell me that 60 people from your church come all the way from Indiana on Memorial Day weekend with the Indy 500 going on, because he knew, back home in Indiana, that's what the big deal is here." And he said, "You come all the way out here to spend Saturday," and this was on Saturday, and I was telling him he's going to be out here again Monday, and he said, "this weekend just to thank us veterans." I said, "Yes, sir." And he, it got him, and it really did. It really got to him. And of course, he just wanted to thank us. That meant a lot. It meant a lot for me for them to be thankful for us. But I'll tell you what, I told him, I said, we can never just be thankful enough for what you folks have done. It was good, because as the day went on each day, it got harder to pass out books, because every time you'd meet somebody in their back pocket or in their arm or in their vest pocket, they're carrying a book. And now you can still go up and thank them, and we did. I tried to, even if, of course, it's easy to spot the veterans in, because they've got the books, so they must be a veteran. But you still go up and thank them, and they were still, though, thankful. And they'd say, "I got your book," and they'd see you walking over, "I got your book," So that's okay. I just want to shake your hand. And it actually got harder as the day went on to get rid of books. I'm thinking, man, I'll tell you what, I'm never going to find another guy without a book. But they're out there. I just was so blessed. My family got to go, and we had a good time. And I think it was good for the teenage group, young men, especially the younger children. I'm sure they was be able to witness something they'll never, ever forget. I know I did. But I tell you what, I want to thank Brother Ron for going. He took those young kids under his wing. He sat and told stories on that bus for hours to those young ones. And he would take along with them, and them young boys and girls, they would just pass those books out and go up and shake hands with those veterans. And I'm telling you what, you talk about a way to get somebody. You get a young child that can go up and you know, and look them in the eye, shake their hand, and thank them, and you've got them then. I mean, I'm telling you, you've got them then. But I just appreciate everybody that went. We had a great time, and I think the group just bonded a little closer, you know, just got a little closer, and just another avenue of something God's given us the opportunity to do, and not nothing that we're doing. It's just God's doing, and then God blessed our trip. But thank you very much.
I'd like to thank the Lord for providing a way for our family to go. I want to just praise Him for allowing me to be a part of Operation Thank a Vet. I want to thank Pastor Jerry for you know, having the vision to organize this trip out to Washington, D.C., and just, like I say, be a member of Operation Thank a Vet. I'd like to thank all the people that went out there, and I guess I want to, something I thought about today is I want to thank all the parents and the training that you have done on your young children and your teenagers. You know, we rode out there, you know, most of the day on Thursday, a lot of the day on Friday, and on that bus, there was not a squabble. There was not a fight between the young children. Young children, I want to thank you for being good, obeying your parents. I mean, it was a blessing to me and Rita to sit there and just hear the laughter that they had going on. You know, the teenagers in the back, they sang. They kept things lively. They kept us smiling. We had some very good spiritual songs, but we also had a couple of silly songs, but that's okay. But I enjoyed Washington, D.C. immensely. I had been through Washington, D.C. one other time almost 30 years ago, but it was just a quick fly through, and I was out of there. I, you know, got to see a few of the monuments off to the distance, but I never seen, actually looked at anything. Whenever we got to Washington, D.C., I guess the first moment that really came out was whenever Brother Bobby and I was over by the Vietnam Veterans Wall, and I stopped a gentleman, asked him if he was a veteran, which he was. He had his, you know, cap on and that type of thing. And I, you know, shook his hand, thanked him, handed him a book, and told him about Brother Ron. And I didn't do it every time, but I always tried to, you know, explain to him that, you know, this is a veteran story from Vietnam, but it also gave the gospel and it also lifted up Jesus Christ's name. And you know, I wanted the Lord's name to be uplifted whenever I witnessed to them or, you know, gave them the book, but I didn't want to, you know, turn them off from accepting the book. I don't know that I had one book rejected that I tried to hand out. I had one gentleman to say no. He was actually walking by me and seeing that I was passing them out, and he said, "Here you go. I'd like to, you know, give this one back." But, you know, everybody's talked about all the people, you know, 16,000 plus books that we've sent out. Nearly everyone that I handed a book to, there was at least three or four or five other people in that party with them. I don't know that, you know, there was a couple I handed out that was just, you know, two old buddies hanging out together. So I'm thinking that this book, not only 16,200 people, but, you know, you could be looking at, you know, quadruple that to the people that it will actually go out to. God's word went around the world over the weekend. Argentina, Croatia, Vietnam, England, you know, many, Poland. I think there was a person from Poland I met. So there was five or six countries that I personally know that we handed them out to, and I'm sure there was countless others. It was just a blessing to go. I got to shake the hand of a brigadier general, and at the time I didn't even realize he was a brigadier general. I could see the star, but I didn't recognize it. And I was going over to the Korean War Memorial with Brother Bobby, and I shook a guy's hand and started handing him a book, and he says, "Oh, you already gave me one of that over by this memorial over here." He said the general did a good job of, you know, the speech that he gave. And I said, "Who was that I handed that book to?" And he said, "Well, that was Brigadier General Halverson." And he gave me all this, you know, all of his information. So I'm hoping and praying that through the email contacts that I have at work that I can make contact with him again and you know, just see if, you know, if he was able to read the book or you know, make some sort of personal contact with him. As we were coming back, you know, it's already been told that, you know, we're, you know, on Monday, on Saturday, we start handing out books, and people just say, "I'm sorry, but I've already had, you know, someone's already given me that book." So we'd shake hands and I'd, you know, thank them. But on our way back, Brother Klein, he comes up to me, says, "Brother Hall, do you have a couple of books or some books?" I said, "I've got two." And we were already in Pennsylvania. And so anyways, we just got done eating supper. And so anyways, I went over to the guys, and he said, "Well, there's about four of them." I said, "Well, I got two books on me." So I went over there, and I shook hands with them. And he said, you was at the wall, wasn't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, that's where we're coming from." And three out of the four veterans had already received that book, and we was already 200 to 300 miles away from Washington, D.C. The fourth one looked at me, and he says, "Well, you know, I was over, you know, over by the bikes," or he was someplace else in the mall area, and he says, "I was talking to a gentleman." He says, "Man, I've been reading this book," and he said, "It is really good." And I said, "Did you not receive one?" He said, "No, I didn't." I said, "Well, you have now." So I gave him one of those books. So it was a blessing to be able to hand out books to you know, all kinds of people. And like I say, it was a blessing to be able to go. Just want to thank everybody that, you know, stayed back and prayed for us, the ones that ran the church buses, the ones, Pastor Ross for preaching. It was Brother Abel, you know, that was amazing, you being able to bring your family out and you know, pick up those books for us and then download them for us and load them back up and bring them home, because we'd have been in a mess with 40,000 books to haul around with us. But it was a true blessing for me, and I know for my wife and Kelsey to be able to, you know, go out there on this trip. So thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
I want to thank Pastor Jerry for his vision of having this trip, and I know it's from the Lord. I especially want to thank the Lord for using Mr. Daffram back there, Brother Daffram, for bringing him to this church, because he had a brother-in-law that he was burdened about, and he brought here, and he got saved here. And you can see the fingerprint of God on all the synchronization of the timing and the putting together of the book. If we didn't have the book, we probably wouldn't have had the vision. Pastor Jerry wouldn't have had this vision of going. And the Lord just put everything together to get this trip organized and made. And I am just overwhelmed in thinking about what is going to come out of this, you know, weeks and months down the road, even years. We don't know where all those, where all that material is going to end up, but there's a really strong gospel presentation in it. And the things that happened on the trip were just incredible. I was so encouraged. I can talk to a group like you all pretty comfortably, but individually, my parents taught me not to talk to strangers. And I talked to some pretty strange ones. But overcoming some of that, you know, it's intimidating seeing these guys, these Marines, you know, with arms like that big around, and they could just pinch your head off if they wanted to. But the Lord really taught me something really neat that really encouraged me, and I think it'll help me in my soul winning, in one-on-one soul winning, is that if you get past that, it's kind of like eating peas, Pastor Jerry. If you get past the looks part of it, and you go straight for their eyes, and I don't know where I heard it, but and I don't know if it's scriptural or not, but someone said one time that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if you can make eye contact and just focus on their eyes, and not stare them down, but have compassion in your own eyes looking at them, they see that. I mean, your eyes communicate that. And when you lock in with them, communicating it that way, it gets past all that. And it's amazing because all that disappears, and they're just like teddy bears. I mean, the biggest and roughest and toughest of them are. One of the things I had to overcome on my trip, I'm a news buff, and I read news a lot. But there is a Baptist church out west in Kansas that protests military funerals. And that Baptist thing, and these bikers actually counter-protest them. These same bikers in this group, the Rolling Thunder is what they were called. But they're a group of a whole bunch of smaller groups. But they actually go and counter-protest this Baptist church that does these protests. And, you know, I'm thinking there's probably a few of them that we met that had done that. So they see the Baptist name on our label or on our shirt. And I'm thinking, you know, is this guy going to think that I'm one of them? You know, because we have the association of the name. Sure. And there's some people with our name that have done some pretty terrible things that are shameful, to dishonor our flag. I had a couple veterans correct me, you know, children not handling the flag properly. I had a pin flag on my shirt I didn't even know I had, and it was upside down. And he very nicely, one of them, say, hey, your pin's upside down. Let me fix that for you. But we really need to train our children on how to properly handle the flag. There's nothing that dishonors or makes a veteran more upset than have the flag not handled correctly. And in the symbols of our nation, we need to have respect for. And our memorials, and we need to honor those memorials. The Lord actually has many memorials in the Bible. So memorials are important to him, and they ought to be important to us. But these veterans were, it really helped me to be able to communicate one-on-one. And it was, I don't know, it was a lot like, probably, I've not been on a teen trip because I wasn't a Christian when I was young. But I imagine that being closely knit with so many of our church family, that you didn't even have elbow room, we really bonded real close, I think, on the trip. And Nathaniel especially bonded with Brother Alan and said, he's my best friend when he come back. And that was special for me. And it's special for Nathaniel, too. And all my kids, they just love him to death. But I'm thankful for the way that the Lord had put all this together, and you can't deny that he was in every bit of it. The arranging of it over the long period of time, especially. But I appreciate all of you praying, because that helped so much, knowing that your prayers were with us. There's several times where, you know, parents were panicked, where's our child, and they'd be with somebody else. But I mean, it's not an odd thing for a kid to get kidnapped over there, especially a little one. You just a couple seconds of not knowing where they're at, and they could be gone. And so it was a blessing that we all got back safe. Amen. But thank you, Pastor Jerry, for your vision.
I think Pastor Jerry called me this afternoon and asked me if I'd say a few words of some of the things that touched my heart, and appreciate Pastor Jerry for having the vision, brother. When you first announced that, my ministry's the bus ministry, and I said I'd let the other people go, and I wasn't even planning on going until right the last minute. My grandson, I knew it was God's will when he came to me and said, Pappy, he said, I'm paying your way, me and Jenny are. And so my grandson paid for me to go, and I knew it was God's will then, you know what? I couldn't. Jeff, I tried to do the best I can. I could. I shook as many hands as I possibly could. I don't know if I can get through all this tonight. I'm going to try to do the best I can, but I just, I know on the way, Tanya, she asked Pastor Jerry, said, Pastor Jerry, there's two things I want to do. I want to see the president, and I want to go shopping. She got within about 10 feet of the president when he come by in his motor carriage, and he waved at her. And we got to go shopping at Cabela's. So you couldn't beat that. Pastor Jerry had about five, I said I've got about 5 minutes, and that's hard to tell what happens in 2 days and 5 minutes, you know. I'm going to just tell you just the people I met mostly that touched my heart. Well, I'll tell you that a lot of good things happened. You could feel God's power on us there, and wow, just a lot of things happened. We went the first day I got over there, and I wanted to walk over the World War II Memorial because I've got two cousins just buried there, or that was died in World War II, one on a submarine, and the other one in Iwo Jima, there when they took the island, they're right on the beach. But their names wasn't on that memorial like it is on the Vietnam memorial. But it about wore me out just walking over there and coming back. And so I decided I was just going to stay at the tent and have them to come to me, okay? And so I want to tell you some of the people that come by, and probably will miss some of them. I know Bill English stood there, him and Brother Divey and Sister Divey and a lot of the other men, Brother Hal did for a while, and Bobby stood there, and a lot of the ladies. But even with all of us there, there was still some of them got by without shaking their hand and thanking them. And I was just overwhelmed at the as many veterans and stuff there was there. You could stop and shake one's hand and tell them thanks for serving their country and putting their life on the line for our freedoms. But I'll tell you, some of them would get by. And I couldn't understand that when they asked me to eat dinner. I probably ate in about 5 minutes. I couldn't stand it. It was getting by without giving them, thanking them. Brother Tim, I've seen a lot of your motorcycle buddies. I tell you, like Jonathan said, they had the earrings and the ponytails and the beards, the leather vest on. And Tim, I've seen a lot of them. We come by, you'd shake their hand and thank them. Big old tears would come down their eyes. Nobody, I don't think so, they'll thank some of them. And some of them would grab and hug me. I cried with them and thanked them, I'll tell you. That. And biggest part of them, they was thanking me for thanking them. You know what? Wow. met this couple was in their 40s, I'd say. There was a man and his wife, and I asked them if they're veterans, and they said no. Said they was here at the memorial because their son just got killed in Iraq 4 days before that. We all just sort of cried together, and I asked them, I said, would you take this book in honor of your son? And they said yes. Another lady, her brother, I asked her if she was a veteran, and she said no, but said my brother's name's up there on the wall there. And I'll tell you this, another man, Tim, that rode his motorcycle, and he come by, and I asked him if he's a veteran. He said no, he wasn't a veteran. Said his brother's name was on the wall up there. He was a shaking, you know, and big old tears coming down his eyes. And I'll tell you, and I said, will you take this in honor of your brother? And he said yes. He took the booklet, and probably some more. I remember there was many of the young soldiers, boy, just in their 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, that was still in service. And boy, I tell you, to shake their hands, a lot of women too, we had to be careful because sometimes some of the soldiers, I was shaking their hand and the ladies would say, I'm in the service too. Lord, we got to shake their hand and thank them. Boy, I tell you, they couldn't believe it was there. Shaking their hands and thanking them for serving their country and putting their life on the line for our freedoms. I just wrote a few things. I know I only got just a few minutes here, but I just want to tell you just a few more. I don't think I had a veteran that wouldn't let me shake their hand. There was a few that wouldn't take the booklet. But I tell you, even when you shook their hand, I think they thought you was going to try to sell them something or something. But the boy, you'd shake their hand, and you could like Brother Klein said, look them in the eye, buddy. I tell you, that's the way we've got to do it. But 50% of the people that I tried to get books to, probably at least 50% are teenagers. Well, thank you, teenagers. Parents, your teenagers done a great job. Boy, I tell you, they really passed them out. And you can be proud of your teenagers. But about 50% of them already had the booklet. And I wanted to thank the teenagers. Appreciate each one of them. I tell you, during the time we was there, I'd seen tears in the eyes of our teenagers. I've seen tears in the eyes of Tanya as we shook their hand, and Tina, our family. And I know Tanya said she went to the Vietnam Memorial with Mary Chesser, and as they walked through it, Mary continually just kept saying, thank you, thanks, thank you, thanks, thank you, thanks. We couldn't pass that the booklet right there by the wall, but she thanked all of them. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of people in our church really stepped up, I tell you. On our way out, just a couple more. On the way out, there was a young man in a wheelchair. He had his leg off up to here. He had family with him, probably five or six of them. Yes. And I went and shook his hand and said thank you. And there'd already been a bunch of people from our church that stopped by and thanked him because we was all walking out getting ready to leave. And he said, I told him, I said thank you. And he said, I'm just doing what I was supposed to do. And his dad then was standing there, and his dad said, well, I'm in active service now, so I got to thank him too. And, well, I'll tell you, some people have given up a lot for our freedoms, you know. Just this last one, Brother Ron. As we went in Memorial Day, Pastor Jerry wanted us to go by the Lincoln Memorial. We went in there and all got our pictures taken, and there was a lot of steps going up that memorial. I didn't think I was going to make it, but anyhow, we did get up there, and we got about that second plateau, and Brother Ron was standing there, and this guy from Vietnam, and he had his family. There was six of them there together, and he come over to Brother Ron, and he kept saying, sorry, 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 and Brother Ron said he forgave him, and here they was hugging, and then he wanted to get a picture of Brother Ron. I'll tell you, that was God's power, you know. And I tell you, that was one of them divine appointments that you talked about, Pastor Jerry, one of them divine appointments.
that, you know, if we'd been 50 minutes earlier or 50 minutes late, that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And so that gospel is going to go all the way back to Vietnam, you know. And just a lot of things. There's some others we could talk about. I think probably I better quit now. But I want to thank the church. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ for saving my soul. Thank you for the Lord for just giving me the strength to go. I appreciate it very much. And so thank you, everybody.
Did I miss anyone? Got everybody. Thank you all so much. And I thought rather than me try to just give you one perspective, you get to hear several. And just quick few things I jotted down listening to them, and we'll get out of here. When we had the bus go down, I wanted to just tell you that although there were several men that worked, Chad ripped his shirt off, got down to his T-shirt and a brand new pair of blue jeans, and he got, like you'd normally see him, Brother Jack, pretty greasy. And he's really the one that got in there and actually did the fixing on the thing. And I'll just tell you, I say this to him. I said, I don't like taking a trip without Jack Gordon with me, because all these years I've known that if I have bus trouble, he's going to be there. And but I did have Jack. I just had him in a younger form. Amen. I thank you. And let me just say this too, because it was a lesson that I've learned. I continue to learn. Sometimes we're so results oriented that we sometimes fail to understand that they're, you know, everybody wants to come back with big numbers or big report. We've got to even be careful of that here. Most people that come to Christ in steps. And the Bible says that some plant and some water, and God gives the increase. And never, never look down on an opportunity to just plant and water. I called Bill Spriggs while I was down in the mall area. I said, I can't talk long. I'm trying to catch all the vets, but I wish you were here and you ought to see this. He said, well, what exactly are you doing? He said, Brother Jerry, I've been in the military for 16 years. These guys are not going to stop in those memorials and let you whip a Bible out, and they're not going to get on their knees right there. I'm just telling you the type of men. He said, you're doing it the right way. And sometimes you just have to let somebody know how much you care before they care what you know. And those booklets, I told our people, I worked on them. Me and Ron worked together. I wrote it. I know the hand of God was in it. It's got a powerful gospel presentation. We found a couple of those booklets out of the whole group of us. We found a couple of those booklets in a trash can, and one that was propped up, not even thrown on the ground, propped up by the men's restroom against the wall. And I think maybe someone set it down there to go in and was intending to get it to get out. But if not, they treated it respectfully. If we would have been there with gospel tracts, they would have been strewn everywhere. I'm just telling you, that's the truth. What we gave them was truly a gift of appreciation. And they treated it like that because we were willing to invest some extra. They treated it very sacredly. And Brother Ron and several of the veterans told me, they will read that book. Brother Jerry, trust me, they will read it and they will pass it on. So I asked our folks to pray. We've been praying much up to the trip. I feel like that the next 2 weeks are very essential that we pray, that God won't let them just let it set somewhere or toss it carelessly away, that they would not be left alone by the Holy Spirit till they pick it up and read that story and read and then get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just remind all of us, patriotism's not a given. Doesn't happen by osmosis. We have to teach our children patriotism. You have to do some things that make them understand their heritage and make them appreciate it. And I think that one of those things is we did this weekend will never be forgotten. I want to thank the senior saints that went. I want to thank those that, you know what, have health problems that went. I don't want you to think for 1 minute you were a burden to any of us. You were a great blessing. And I watched some of them. We'd sometimes have to slow down a little bit. But you know what? Everybody played a part. From the youngest child to the oldest senior saint, God used every single one of them. They mentioned about the countries around the world. That is absolutely true. Those booklets went around the world because we gave them out to multiple people that were visiting from other countries. Thank you for investing in the shirts. I will tell you, folks, that our group looks sharp. And I think that we were allowed privileges in where we went because of the way we looked and the way we conducted ourselves. Most of the people thought we worked for the memorials. They'd come up and ask directions. They'd want to know this, that. You know, I sold them several free maps, you know, and... But many of the veterans thought that this was part of our nation's organized effort to see that they were greeted, that we were a part of it. But a lot of it is because we did it sharp, we did it right, we did it professional, we did it first class. And no matter where we were, people could easily identify us. And I think because of that, we were allowed to get in some areas and pass out some things that normally they wouldn't just let somebody walk in street clothes and stand there and pass things out. So it was good. I want to thank all of you that sacrificed so much to go. And let me just give you this, because, one of the people asked me, who financed your group to be able to do this? What organization financed your group to go this? And I was like, I don't know. I wish you'd give me their name. And I said, well, there was an organization. We're just a country church in Indiana, and we raised the money, and the people sacrificed and paid their way, and the church people paid for the booklets. And they just couldn't believe it, because everybody that's there usually has some financial backing from something that enables them to do it. And let me just say this, and we know that who went was God's will and who didn't. Thank you for staying. But never make a decision on whether to involve yourself in something based on finances. Now, I know that goes against the carnal nature, but I refuse to make decisions in my life based on finances. I don't think money is a big enough obstacle to say no. If when I announced this, you said, oh, I can't go, we can't afford it, and you never prayed about whether you should go, you should have prayed. Because all you need to find out is whether or not God wants you to do something or not. Amen. Yes. And if God wants you and lays on your heart to go on a trip, he will provide the money for it. Yes, sir. And all of these people can testify to that. And so we did get to see the president. The scariest thought is that Tanya was within 10 feet of him. If they would let her within 10 feet of the president, what chance does he have of finishing his term, you know? So. That was fun. That was just an added treat that in the process, they don't, of course, announce his schedule where he's traveling. Several of our people will happen to be right at the White House, right by the driveway, the private driveway where he comes in with all the gates when he pulled in, and literally he slowed down, and they were within feet of him and got to wave at him and see him. And that was just, I think, Lord's added blessing. The rest of us saw him. Some of us saw him later on when he went down Constitution Avenue, but it was more like, but it was amazing. Thank you for your prayers. Let's stand, and we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. I know that the service has been a bit unusual, but we wanted to bring back part of the blessing and thank you. Thank you for all those that came. Thank you for those that stayed. I think I said this before we left, but I believe that the Bible teaches that those that stay by the stuff is equal in the dividing of the spoil. Anything that happened at Blessed Hope while we were gone, we received part of the blessing of that. Anything that happened with us as that we're away, you received part of the blessing of that. We're a church family. Amen. We do things together. And I just want to finish by praying and thanking the Lord for what he allowed us to see and do and all of the good things that happened in this trip. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just this unusual Wednesday night service where we get to do exactly what we read about in Psalms 148, and that's to spend some time just praising you. Lord, what you provided for, what you allowed us to do was phenomenal. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel witness that went out. Thank you for those witnesses that were verbalized. Thank you for those that went out in written form. And we do pray for each and every one, Lord. We pray that you would take even now that material that's been placed in their hands, and even this evening, some of them maybe are returning today. Maybe they're unwinding. Maybe they're pulling out and sorting through. Help them to pick that booklet up, Lord, and turn the light on by the recliner and sit there and read it and get a hold of their heart, Lord, and help them to see the gospel. Help that maybe to be the tool that helps to break through, or adds a little water to a seed that's already planted. And Lord, we are thankful for our country. We're thankful for the great price that was and has been paid. I thank you for that young veteran that was just weeks off the battlefield, being wheeled out in a wheelchair, stub of a leg still in Band-Aids, mom and dad with him, but he wanted to come and pay honor to others. I thank you for those World War II vets, Lord, that I got to shake their hands. What a blessing. To see the wonderment in their eyes that someone had come that far just to stand there and thank them for their service. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would take that part of that group that's rightfully called the greatest generation, Lord, that a lot of them were good men, brave men, but they're unsaved men, some of them, that you would save them through the material that we gave and through the witness, and that they wouldn't be able to get out of their hearts and mind that somebody cared, somebody came, somebody shook their hand, somebody gave them something to read. Please, Lord, speak to their hearts. Help them to come to Christ. Thank you for the strength that you gave us, each one. Lord, for those, Lord, I know that are just wore themselves out keeping up and doing this. Lord, I pray that in the days ahead you'll give them healing and strength. And Lord, we look forward now to next Sunday. The next thing's on the agenda. We're going to have a great week. A week from Monday, Vacation Bible School. Lord, other things are going on. And as we rejoice in the blessings of the last few days, we ask, Lord, for your continued blessings through all of the varied ministries of this church, that you'd use all of the efforts, Lord, to do the same thing, and that's to help us to be able to fulfill the great commission that you left us before you left this earth. And again, Lord, we ask now your blessing as we dismiss, Lord, and go our separate ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.